After wishing everyone a great, great winter zman, and we should hear b'sorot tovot. We really need that. Let's look again at the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, which we've seen in the past, but I do want to emphasize two things that at least miss my attention. First, ha'of ole im hagvina la shulchan v'eino nechal divrei beishamai. And it occurs to me that Beit Shammai is differentiating between two dinim, which we would have combined together, I think, intuitively, as a package deal. Because if you remember the sugya that we learned before this Mishnah, and specifically the way Rashi interpreted the sugya, the gzeirah of halah, which means that we can't put meat and milk on the same table, is not a gzeirah l'gzeirah in the case of oaf, because keep in mind that oaf is the rabbanon, but is kula chad gzeirah, which means that when we introduce the isra achila in the case of oaf, extending the Torah isra of behema to oaf, then ipso facto we automatically introduce the Isur Halah. In other words, Beit Shammai is not going to deny that there's a package deal here which combines the Isur Achilu with the Isur Halah to the same extent that I cannot eat a mixture of oaf and chalav. I cannot put oaf and chalav on the same table. And I use the term ipso facto deliberately because it's really A equals B. And that's why Rashi, as we pointed out last time, Sof Dibra Maschil Aval Hacha, which is at the end of the previous sugya, Rashi says Dechi Masik Lehu Hainu Achila, which literally means that once you put them on the table together, it means you're inviting the people to eat it. But Rashi says Hainu Achila. So that Beit Shammai is not going to deny that when we go one step, we have to go the next step. Like A drags along B. Once we introduce and establish an Isra Achila, in the case of Oaf, and Beit Shammai doesn't deny that, then we should go one step further and introduce an Isra Halah. I cannot tell you, well, don't eat meat and milk together, in this case, meat meaning chicken, and then say to you, well, you can put them on the same table, but don't eat them together. So the chiddush of Beit Shammai here is that eino nechal, that even though I've established, and Beit Shammai doesn't deny it, the isra achila midrabanan in the case of oaf b'chalav, nevertheless, Beit Shammai says, wait a minute, I can tell you the following. Don't eat oaf b'chalav, but you're allowed to put them on the same table. The Pella, the amazing Chiddush of Beit Shammai, is that Beit Shammai is really undermining the very premise that we've been operating with, namely that Achila, the jump between Achila and Halah, the prohibition of Achila ipso facto leads me to the prohibition of Halah. There's no real jump. You know, when you talk about jump, like I remember when I was in London and you get on the metro, it says, mind the gap. I don't know if they still have that, but that was as of 2 years ago. Mind the gap. There's no gap to mind over here because there is no gap. Rashi says, hainu achila, that putting them on the same table means achila. Comes along Beit Shammai, and what they're doing is they are breaking that connection between Achila and Halah. Basically what they're saying is that there is a gap between Achila and Halah, and therefore Halah becomes an additional gzerah, an additional harchaka, which I can justify, says Beit Shammai, in the case of Basar Behema, because what are we doing with basa behema? We're dealing with an isa d'oraisa, and now you're not allowed to eat basar behema with chol of d'oraisa. That's lo savashal gdi bachlevimo twice, right? The second time is for achila. And now the rabbanim are going to tell you, well, don't put basa behema on the same table as basa as chol, correct? Because once you put them on the same table, we're afraid you might come to eat it. So Beit Shammai sees halah as a gzera, atu achila. And that gzera is justified in the case of basar behema, because that's d'oraisa, but the gzera is not going to be justified in the case of basar ov, because basar ov is only d'rabbanan. That's the way I understand it. Comes along Beis Hillel, lo olive lo nechal. Now you and I might have said, well, lo olive lo nechal is just describing the din, but I think it goes way beyond that. What Beit Shammai is saying is that it's one and the same. Because masik le'achale, that if you put them on the same table, then they're going to be eaten together. Can you fit in the agenda?
Sure.
And therefore, what Beis Hillel is saying, eino olev lo nechal, lo olev lo nechal, means that ipso facto, if it's eino nechal Beis Shammai, you should have agreed with me to go one step further, and lo olev. So we could reduce the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai to the following issue. How do you define the nature of the Isra Halah, which the Rabbanan institute? Are the Rabbanan saying that Kevin the Asr Vachila Mimela Asr Vahalah, because Halah equals Achila? Or no? That granted this an Isra Achila, now I have to impose upon that another extension, another Gzeira, that from Halah you're going to come to Achila. If we allow you to put them on the same table, you may indeed come to eat them together. Says Beit Shammai, if Halah is one step removed from Achila, it's a Gzeira or Achaka Atu Achila, then that makes sense to justify such a Gzeira of Halah in the case of Basar Behema, which is Doraisa, but not in the case of Basar Ov. And this came to me as a revelation, and I was very excited about this, in light of the previous sugya about Chalas Chutz La'aretz versus Chalas Eretz Yisrael. In that sugya, Abai makes the distinction, and he says that if you are a Kohen in Chutz La'aretz, eating Chalas Chutz La'aretz, and I'm a Yisrael eating my chulin from the same table, that's okay, says Abai. But if we're in Eretz Yisrael, where there's an availability of Chalas Eretz Yisrael, which is Doraisa, and the Kohen is sitting here in Yerushalayim partaking of his Challah, and I'm sitting on the same table partaking of my Chulin, I may very well stretch my arm out and eat his Challah, and I'm a Yisrael, that's a Chiv Misim De Shamayim. That, Abai says, has to be accepted. And I think that Abai's logic is now a very good keresh kvitza to jump from there to Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai is going to say, wait a minute, if you're talking about Basar Behema, which is what? D'oraisa, then I make the next step, and I introduce a gzera of Halah. But, says Beit Shammai, in the case of Basar Ov, which is only Drabbanan, like in the case of Chalas Chutz La'aretz, the way Abai understood, there's no reason to introduce an Isra Halah to sit at the same table, because in the worst case scenario, you're only violating an Isur Dirabana. And that becomes a Gzera L'Gzera.
Beis Hillel says it's all one.
Exactly. Comes Beis Hillel and they say, you know what? There's no way you can differentiate between Achil and Halal. I can't invite you to sit at the table and place in front of you Cholav and Basar, in this case Ov, and expect you to eat the Ov separate from the Cholav. Inevitably, you're going to eat the two together, and that's what Rashi means when he says, the chimasikli hainu achila. If I put them on the same table and we're eating from the same table, again, we'll soon see the safe of the mission. What if we're not eating off this table? You know, it's like a shmor kind of table. That's a whole different story. But if we're eating off this table, imagine sitting around and eating different foods and telling me, well, I'm going to eat this food and not that food. That's too much to expect. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, insofar as there are banan, went ahead and they asered Ov Becholov, they memela, that's what I call the ipso facto principle here, they told you don't invite someone to sit on the table with Ov and Cholov on the same table and expect them not to combine them and eat them together. And that's where Beis Shammai came along and they said, well, no, you know what? Halah is one step removed. It's an additional harchok. And to add a harchaka to another harchaka, because oaf itself is harchaka, if I allow you to eat oaf with cholov, you might come to eat basa behema with cholov. That becomes a gzeilus. Good? Now the second revelation that came to me, again, you know, keep in mind we haven't gotten together in a couple of weeks, so I had a lot of time to think about this for sure. Although I don't know if I, you know, I would add too much grease into the equation, but let's say before grease, after grease. What about the word gvina here? You remember that the first mission in the Perek, which introduced Kol HaBasar, used the word Cholav. And here the Mishnah changes its tune and all of a sudden Cholav becomes gvina. So before we get to that, and is there a possibility of arguing that gvina lafuki Cholav, which would be fascinating because that would mean that there's no Isar Halah in Cholav and the whole Isar Halah is only limited to gvina? Or alternatively, to say that the word gvina here means afilu gvina and a kolshken cholav. But before we get to that, I want to fast forward to the end of this mission. B'ezeh shulchan amru b'shulchan she'ochel olav avol b'shulchan she'sudar olav esatavshil no saying zeh b'tzad zeh v'eino choshesh. Now here, Abosa, I want to ask you one question. And I hope you'll give me the answer that I think is intuitively correct. When the Mishnah says, no saying zeh b'tzad zeh v'eino choshesh, is the Mishnah telling you A, or B, A, that it's a good idea, meaning it's fine, you have no problems here, or B, what shall I say, if you have to do it, but if you can avoid it, avoid it. In other words, is there an element of chumra l'chatchila, you know, the chumra of the week, if you, can we introduce the following, that you should not put meat and milk on a table, which is just a presentation of food. People will come and take their food from this table and sit down at a different table. Table A is just sudar olav, and table B is ochel me olav. Should we introduce a chumra and say, you know what, I'd rather avoid it? And the Ramah does just that. The Ramah says, yesh lahachmir lechatchila, even in the case of a shulchan shesudar. I read the Mishnah in a different way. Michael, how did you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, ain't a choshesh. Like, you know, give it a break. He put this over here. He says, no saying zev, it's ad zev. He ain't a choshesh. Means you don't have to be machmir over here. The Ramah insists that there's a chum.
They didn't have to add ve'en choshesh. Could have stopped two words earlier. So
yeah,
implying that maybe there is a chashash.
Chashash, but so then ain't no choshesh. So the Ramah says, well, maybe there is a chashash. So I want you to know, please. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So David is pointing out that if you take a deep breath before you get to ain't no choshesh, you might say, well, you know, you could do it, but don't do it, avoid it if you can. But then, v'yeinu choshesh. So the Mefarshim on the Ramah, please make a note of it, because I really want to get into this when we get a chance, maybe in the Ardesh, if not in the Blatshia. They want to differentiate between Behema and Oph. Because it's very interesting, when the Mishnah says, v'ezeh shulchan amru, you don't know. Again, we're used to seeing a Mishnah as a separate entity, but back in the day, you know, the Mishnayos flowed one after the other. And there were different printings, and, you know, those who organized the printing of the Talmud back in, let's say, the 1500s, you know, when they invented the printing press, they decided that, you know, there was just so much Gemara on a Mishnah, so we'll break up the Mishnayos in a convenient way for the benefit of the printing of the Mishnayos. But really, the Mishnahs flow one to the other, so I'm not sure when the Mishnah says "Be'ezah Shulchan Amru," it's referring dafka to Oph. So some of the Mefarshim want to suggest that the Ramah, when he introduces his Chumrah on a Shulchan says Sudar all of us at Talshul, he's referring dafka to Behema. As far as Oph is concerned, you could read the Mishnah as one flowing Mishnah the way it's printed in our editions of the Talmud, and we're referring to Oph, and V'ena Choshe should be taken straightforward kipshuto, there's no room for any chumra. That which the Ramah added a comment that lechatchila yesh lahachmir, he's talking about behavior, which again leads us to a fascinating conclusion that although the Rabbanon prohibited oaf, and therefore you're not allowed to eat a mixture of oaf and cholov, they didn't equate it or upgrade it to the level of behemah. The Ramah is breaking new ground. We've seen this in Beis Shammai. We've never seen this in Beis Hillel. In Beis Shammai, we said there's no Isur Halah at all in Oaf. The Isur Oaf is only Achil of Eino Nechal. And therefore, Oaf and Behema, according to Beis Shammai, clearly are two separate Isurim, two separate Heftas, the Isura, with different Dinim. But once we saw in Beis Hillel that the Dinim of Isur Achilah and Isur Halah both equally apply to Oaf, we're tempted to believe that Oaf now is an extension of Behema. And although one is Doraisa and Karz Malkus, the other is only Drabbanan and Karz Makus, Mardus, this is for those who learn from Seth the Makus, but nevertheless, it's all one din. You know, there may be a kula because in Makus Doraisa, you get a real strong bulvian, you know, to give the Malkus. Makus Mardus, you get some weakling to, you know, he's a Talmud Chacham, you get him to give the Malkus. Yeah, he'll have compassion. But basically, as far as the Heft of the Isur is concerned, they still seem to insist that Ein L'chalik, there's no reason to make any distinction between Oaf and Behema. Comes along the Rambah, again, in this interpretation of the Rambah doesn't say this explicitly, but we'll see that the Mefarshim want to say that the Ramah only applies to the case of Basa Behema. So why am I excited about this? Because this may give me the precedent that I need to conclude that Basa Oaf and Basa Behema are two separate categories. Not just because one is Doraisa and one is Rabbanan, but even in the very nature of the Isra.
So you could at a buffet, it's also Ramah, you could just have the chicken and the gavina all on one table, and people come with them and their plates, and they can take whatever.
Correct, and that's even lechatchila. But if it's not chicken and it's meat, no. Avoid it. Yesh lahachm.
Presumably, Mishnah Berurah says otherwise.
I don't have the Mishnah Berurah in front of me, but I have the Badi Ashulchan, which is sort of like a substitute for the Mishnah Berurah.
We never ever see that.
And if you take a look in the Badi Ashulchan, you know, the Badi Ashulchan, who's alive today, alive and well, he's a contemporary, he writes a kind of substitute Mishnah Berurah, which I like to do with you on Wednesday nights at 7:30. Again, I'm not trying to publicize this year, but within a Yaradeish year, the Badi Ashulchan becomes a very important source. Which is very fascinating because here's a contemporary who had a tremendous impact in Halacha and continues to do so. And he writes, Shalola halos basar al shulchan sha'ochlan al gvina. And, Basar halos al shulchan sha'ochlan al gvina. Kidesh lo yovel lelchlam liyachad. Aval shulchan sha'sura alas atafshil. Muto litain zebitzad ze. And if you look at the body of shulchan, he says, Kaven de ein ochlim me also al shulchan. Lekal and mecha sha'yovel lelchlam liyachad. So you get the impression for the Badi Ashulchan that the Ramah was not accepted. Now, again, we haven't seen the Ramah inside, so that's going to take a whole different limud, and I don't want to draw any halachic conclusions. I'm going to walk out of here, because the Ramah, as you'll soon see, is very nervous about the fact of that there are spillings. And he's afraid that if you put things next to each other, then there's a real chash that they spill one into the other.
Not gvina.
Well, it depends. Now, in the case of gvina, gvina is usually exposed. Again, when I say usually, don't hold me to my words. I mean, or often, or frequently, whatever word you want to use. Whereas milk is usually in a container. So the chash of the Ramah, that if you put one thing near the other, there's a chash of nishpach, that maybe one would spill into the other, that would seem to apply more to Gvina than to Chalav. If you have, let's say, Rotev in the meat, you know, there may be a Nishpach, you know, let's say, I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you put something down, and you put it down, instead of gently, you put it down sort of, you know, abruptly or radically, and then it spills over. So that's a serious chashash in the case of Gvina, if Gvina is exposed. It's not in a receptacle. Whereas Cholav, if it is a receptacle, there's less of a chashash of Nishpach. So let's combine two chumras here. Not, again, I'm not advocating this halacha. But let's say we talk about basar behema. So I took real meat, I cooked it in a rotev, and I want to put it in proximity to gvina. So I have a chashash of basar behema, which is doraisa, plus I have gvina, which is exposed. This is one way of understanding the Ramah as to why, even though I'm not eating off this table, but the two are placed in close proximity, that there might be a chashash of nishpach. Now add to this the Me'iri. The Me'iri on our Mishnah makes a comment, which is fascinating, it's not brought down anywhere in the poskim, that the whole Mishnah that we're learning now about halah does not apply to Zman Hazeh. Only the Me'iri back in 1,000 years ago could have gotten away with this. Says the Me'iri, because in the days of the Talmud, of the Mishnah, they used to eat from Shulchanos Ketanim. Every individual got his own table. And if you've ever learned Arvi Pesachim, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And therefore, there was a real chashash of nishpach, or of nivla, that on a small, you know, with a small surface level, you might have two things at such close proximity that they rub shoulders together. But in our shulchanos, which are long tables, he says the whole problem doesn't apply. So let's leave the Me'iri on the side. We're going to have to study this Me'iri B'Yom Tzachem, but I just want to get one thing from the Me'iri, that this concept of nishpach, that maybe the Isar HaLoa has something to do with nishpach, which I think, by the way, it's not explicit in Rashi, but it's implicit in the Rashi back on the Mishnah. If you remember Rashi on the Mishnah, also Lahalos Al Shulchan, Rashi says, "Dekanagi uboli mehadadu." You remember that? So this concept of nagi or nishpach, which Rashi alludes to in his commentary on the Mishnah, and the Me'iri makes a big deal about in terms of differentiating between small shulchanos and large shulchanos, is something that perhaps gives us the backdrop to why the Ramah might want to be machmir in certain cases, to put two things next to each other, basar and cholav, or basar and gvina, let's say, even though you're not eating off the table. Whereas our Mishnah says, Einam Choshesh, the Ramah is going to say, well, that's only in the case of oath. And here we could be more makil in the case of oaf, because in the worst case scenario, you'll come to create a mixture which is only derabanan. But in the case of behema, where the mixture is doraisa, we have to be super duper careful about it, and we have to worry about nishpach. So again, this is all, you know, futuristic thinking. What I do want to call your attention to is the question of the shach. Now, Rabosa, usually the shach belongs to Yoredeishia. And he's interested in a machlokas with the Taz and this and that. Very rarely do you find the shach that belongs to the Gemara itself, that simply asks what I call a pshatovna question. A question that I kick myself in the pants. Why didn't I ask this question? Now, to introduce the kasha of the shach, I want to play a pedagogic game with you. Okay, and you're my student. Would you be allowed to put nevela, basar nevela, that was not shechted properly, on a table? What's your answer?
No. Yes.
Well, okay, we have machlok sachronim already. You know, I mean, this is good.
You've got to define your question a bit more carefully. Is it marked in any way as to what basar it is?
Let's say it's not marked.
No.
So guess what? The poskim say you're allowed to put nevela on your table. And the Iser Halah applies to basar mechalav and not to nevela. And if you believe for one moment that the difference between basar mechalav and nevela is because basar mechalav is asar bahana, whereas Nevelas mutterbadna, which means that if I want to feed my dog, I had a whole shiur on Shabbos about feeding dogs, right? Feeding animals, because Noach was not so careful about feeding his animals. He got it bad in the leg, right? So that's wrong. I'll tell you why it's wrong. Because the Rambam paskins that basar of becholov is mutterbadna. Basar of becholov, that mixture I can feed to my dog. And yet, the Rambam paskins, based on our Mishnah Beis Shammai, that Basar Of Becholov is also Allah. So Rav Osi, you see that the Isra Allah has nothing to do with the Isra Anah. If that be the case, I lead you into the clutches of the Shach. And the Shach says, I don't understand. Why is it that we find nowhere in a Mishnah, in a Gemara, in a Yushalmi, in a Bavli, in a Posek, anywhere, that you're not allowed to put the veil on your table? And yet, with regard to Basar B'cholov, even Basar Of B'cholov, Halacha k'beis Hillel, you're not allowed to put it on the table. And when I heard this kash of the Shach, I literally was angry at myself. Like, why didn't I ask this kash? This Mishnah of Halah is unique to one place in Shas, and that is Basar B'cholov. Why? Shem Tomer, because Basar B'cholov is also by Noah? Maybe that's the chumrah of Basar B'chol. We have to be very careful. That's not right. We're talking about Basar Of B'chol, which the Rambam passes. I don't know anyone who disagrees with the Rambam. Is mutter b'ano?
Because Basar B'chol doesn't apply to Nevela.
No, but I'm asking, if in the case of Basar B'chol, you're afraid he's going to what? He's going to eat Basar B'chol of. Why in the case of Nevela, aren't you afraid? And Michael points out, it's not even marked, that I won't eat the Nevela.
Well, Nevela's,
and it's even
easier.
What do you say?
Nevela's always easier.
You don't know. Ooh.
You saw the Shach?
No, but I mean,
wow.
You know,
first I thought you were cheating here and you were plagiarizing the Shach. Now I think you're brilliant. So you went from one extreme to the other. You didn't see the Shach.
I'll take the brilliant. No.
Okay. So you machabed the Shach. I'm amazed. The Shach wants to say the following: that Basar B'cholov is unique because zeheter v'zeheter. You're allowed to eat the meat. You're allowed to eat the milk. But what? You can't eat them together. That's where the Yisrael Law comes in. The Yisrael Law tells me that you might mistakenly take two foodstuffs, two items, each one is heter, and eat them together. Again, we're only afraid of that if it's a Shulchan Shulchan Olav, not a Shulchan Shesudar Al Satav, Shul, fine. The Mishnah makes that limitation rule. But the Yisod HaYisodos of Halah is that I'm putting together two things that I can eat. So far, so good. Brilliant, brilliant chiddush of the Shach. The Shach goes one step further. And he coins a phrase which I think sheds a light on what Basar B'cholov is all about. And he says, Lo bedile inshi mine. If each element in Basar B'cholov, the combination which makes Iser, is heter, then man is not separated from it. We separate ourselves from Iser. Let me say it in a way that a Rav would say it in a drush. I don't mean this literally, but a Darshan would say that a Jew has an intuitive sense of Kedusha, of Tumah and Tara, Chas v'Shalom. He avoids Nevela. Michael will say, wait a minute, it's not marked, but I wouldn't eat it. It's Nevela. I know it's Nevela, I would never go near it. But in the case of Basar B'cholov, each one, each element is heter, I have a natural tendency, that's called in the language of the Shach, lo bedili inshimine. And I want to show you, Rabosai, that Tosus at the beginning of Masechta Psachim vacillates back and forth about the nature of chametz bePesach. Is chametz called lo bedili mine inshim because the whole year round I'm eating chametz? Or is chametz on Pesach bedili mine inshim because it's an Iser? Chametz is also on Pesach, and therefore I have an intuitive sense of stay away, don't go near chametz. But be that as it may, the Shach claims that there's only one Iser in the world that justifies halah, the Iser halah, and that's the Iser of Basar B'cholov. What defines Basar B'cholov as a unique Iser in the constellation of Machalos Asuris? Lo bedili mine. And why is it lo bedili mine, says the Shach? Because zeheter b'fnei atzmo, v'zeheter b'fnei atzmo.
You can't compare chometz with Nevela, because chometz you can see and you know what chometz is on Pesach. Whereas with Nevela, you've got a piece of meat in front of you on the table. You can't tell what that is, unless you've got some, you're saying there's some sort of inner spiritual things that you can identify.
All right, leave that out. That was just for a rabbinic presentation, Michael. You come from England, so I don't know if you have the same kind of darshanim in England that we have in America. Probably England is on a much higher level. But we, you know, in America, you know, the joke is always, you know, this is for a rabbinic drasha, you know.
Are you saying that when a piece of Nevela is on the table,
you're not going to eat
it? A Jew will automatically somehow instinctively know it's Nevela?
Again, whatever it is, it's called, in the Shach's language, it's called Bedili Minehichi. I will not go near eating the veil. Where is it? Lo bedilim in einshe basa b'cholof. Why? Because zehetem b'fnei atzmo v'zehetem b'fnei atzmo. But again, Rabosai, listen to what the Shach is saying. There is no, I can give you a list of 20 machalos asurus. You will find, with regard to zero of those 20, well, I should say 19 out of those 20, you will find no Yisr Allah. There is nowhere in Allah that I can't put Kilaya Karam on my table. There's nowhere in Allah that says I can't put Arla on my table. There's nowhere in Allah that says I can't put any Machalos Asurus, the Vela on the table, and so far and so on. Chadash, for example. Chadash Asim Ben HaTorah, right? Here in Eretz Yisrael, Chadash is Dorais. In Chutz Laaretz, you have a whole issue about Chadash. But here in Eretz Yisrael, for sure it's awesome. Does anywhere say you can't put Chadash on your table? Does it say in any posek anywhere, says the Shach, this is a unique Mishnah that doesn't appear anywhere. Right. So we have to rack our brains and figure out, says the Shach, if you don't like my answer, says the Shach, come up with an alternative answer, but says the Shach, Basa B'Cholov, and only Basa B'Cholov, I should say exclusively Basa B'Cholov, engenders an Yisr Halal al Ashur. Says the Shach, why? Food. Where's this Gzeres HaKosev about Basa B'Chol? Where is it? You know, you don't know why you blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam calls it Gzeres HaKosev. Remez Yesh B'Dover. Fine, you'll find a remez. It's good for a drasha on Rosh Hashanah. Uri Yesheder Mishnatzim. That's always a good message for a rabbi to give his congregants. Uri Yesheder Mishnatzim. I remember my father, once in the middle of a drush, he was talking about the principle of Am Yisrael Chai, that the Jewish people are so alive. And he knew, beyond the shadow of his doubt, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, although he's dead already 20 years, but he was a very close friend of ours, that the president of the shul was surely fast asleep. So he turns around for the whole congregation and says, like our president! And all of a sudden, Mr. So-and-so, the president, goes like that, like he jumps out of his seat. Uru Yesheder Mishnas, great for a drush. But that's because shofars is clearly a Gzeres HaKosev. But when you come to the Yisr Allah and it's limited exclusively to Basa B'Chol, you can't tell me Gzeres HaKosev. There's nowhere in Tanakh that you'll find the source for the Yisr Allah in Basa B'Chol. So you've got to come up with some logical justification. Why is it that in Basa B'Chol is in Yisr Allah and nowhere else? Says the Shach, a new principle. Zehetem b'fnei atzmo, zehetem b'fnei atzmo, and therefore lo bedili in shimi. Good? So far, so good. Frek the Ramah, frek the Shach, I have a kasha. The rush, it's unbelievable, his yiddish. I get chills when I think of it. The rush in Mesechta Nedarim, daf nun dalet, in a sugya called Mudar Hanoa Michavero, which means that Reuven says to Shimon, you are completely enjoined from having any benefit from any of my possessions. And yet the Gemara establishes in the Dorit that Shimon is allowed to take his sandwich and eat at the same table in which Reuven is eating his food. Imagine Reuven is Magdir Shimon Bahanoa, they're eating from the same table. And the Gemara says, that's okay. Now watch what goes on over here. Anything on the table, except for what Shimon brought from, you know, his wife put him in one of those sandwich boxes, everything else is awesome to him, with an Issa Doraisa of a net. So there's tons of food on the table that belongs to Reuven. Shimon comes in with his little, you know, his little sandwich. And he's allowed to sit at the same table and eat it. So the rush, again, if you have the Shach, I'll read it to you inside. the Rush wants to know why this is so. How could it be that we allow him to eat at the same table? He won't stretch out his hand to eat something with. So the Rush says the following. It should be awesome. The Iser Halah should apply in this case. But the Gemara says in Chulin that if you invite two guests to a hotel, two guests at an inn, and this guy, Reuven, is eating meat, and this guy, Shimon, is eating milk, it's mut, even though they're eating from the same table. Why? Because the Gemara says that each one is makdin from the other one. That's called sonim zedzeh. It doesn't mean literally sonim zedzeh, but, you know, unless we're close, intimate buddies, you know, you're not going to eat from my food, and I'm not going to eat from your food. We're total strangers. Says the Rush, even if Reuven and Shimon know each other very well, but they're sonim zedzeh. Why? How do you know that? Because Reuven was madir hanor to Shimon. Mudr hanor is nothing more than an expression of sinah. That I would say to you, you're enjoined in an isa neder from having any benefit from any property, any possession that I own. Says the Shah, what do you see from this Rush? Logically, the Rush holds that we should apply the principle of the Iser Allah for the Iser Neder. Hello, what? Within the context of the Iser Allah, we have a matir. What's the matir? Sonim says. And that applies in the case of Mudr Hanor. Had it not been for the Sonim Zed Zed proviso, if the Rush would not be able to activate this exceptional rule that if there's Sonim Zed Zed, the Makvid Zed Zed, therefore we completely undermine and neutralize the Isra Halah, there would have been an Isra Halah, but we're not talking about Basa Macholov. Frek, the Shach Lishi Tasi, according to my presentation, that I say that there's only an Isra Halah in one Isra and only in one Isra, namely Basa Macholov, because the Lobe Dili Minei Inshi, it doesn't apply to any other Isra. The Rush is a stira to everything I've said. Because the Rush basically applies the Isra Allah to Neder, which is Shari Suri Torah. It's not an Isra Bas Mechala. Except for the fact that there's a loophole. And the Heter is Sonim Zed. Says the Shach, there are two Isurim in the Torah which lend themselves to the Isra Allah. Bas Mechalav and Neder. And neder, like Basa B'cholov, is lo bedili minei inch. And he says an amazing chiddush. Neder really is heter gomor. There's nothing usher in a neder. This piece of bread or meat or whatever it might be is pure heter. It's there's nothing asher in it. Ella, what is a neder? The Iser Neder is not inherent in the object. Again, that's my own interpretation. Let me read to you the language of the Shah. Yesh lomar dinidorim kaven di osur mi'ela mitzad nidro. Again, he leaves out a few words. I say, I would read it like this. Kaven di neder eino osur mitzad atzmo, ela mitzad nidro. Choshev ki bosar v'cholov. They call echad heter v'fneatz.
What about hektish?
Hektish may be the same thing. Aval shari surim moda harosh. The Rush would never extend the iser halah beyond the confines of lo bedili minei inshi. But what iser or what isurim can be classified as lo bedili minei inshi? Only two: basa b'cholav and what? And neder. And this, Rabosa, is fascinating to me because, again, if you don't mind the drasha, Mike, I said that there's an intuitive slida, I don't know how you say it in English, איך אומרים באנגלית, אדם סולד ממשהו, he draws back, I don't know, there's a word. What?
Withdraws.
Withdraws, but I'm looking for another word, okay. What do you say?
Repulsion.
Repulsion, yeah, there's an intuitive repulsion from Isur, as opposed to something which is heter. According to this, the Shach is saying there's no intuitive repulsion from a neder. Because the neder is pure heter. The Isur neder sort of hovers over the object. It's like a shield that prevents you from eating it, but in and of itself, it's heter. And you don't have that intuitive sense of Isur.
So why is that true? Why by nevela? Nevela is a piece of meat that, if it had been shechted kosher, would be perfectly good to eat. And you don't see anything. No, you don't see it
because there shechit is the matir. Meaning, what we're saying is that nevela in and of itself is awesome. It was awesome from its inception. The Gemara says in Chulin, well, that's the first part of Chulin, that the Isur nevela is a continuation of the Isur Eiver Menachai. The only way I could be matir the Isur Eiver Menachai is with shechita. So in and of itself, it's awesome. It was always awesome until you matir. You have to transform it into basar. Not so in the case of neder. Neder in and of itself is mutter. On the contrary, you're prevented from eating it because of the neder. Back to Shach. What about chametz? And this is the most exciting part. He says the following. He says that the Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba. Again, the ideas here are mind-boggling. So the Rashbin is Chuvas writes that if a guy is invited into your house on Pesach and he's coming with his chametz sticker sandwich, asur lahalos imo al hashulchan, you can't let him eat his chametz from the same table that you're eating your matzah. When I say matzah, you've seen the Yemenite pitot, which are matzah dik, you know, and they look identical to a pita that's chametz stick. You're not allowed to do it. Frek the Shach. I don't get it. According to my shita, that the only time you say the Yisra Allah, you can apply it only in a case of lo bedili min ayinshi. And we have only two categories that fit, only two Yisurim that fit that bill. Either it's basa b'chalav, because zehetem ifnei atzmo, zehetem ifnei atzmo, or it's the dar because the neder, the iser, is extraneous, it's external to the object. The object inherently begufo shal iser is mutter, it's heter gamur. What are you going to do with chametz? Chametz is gufo shal iser. And at this point, Azariah Berzon writes a footnote. And my footnote is that Tosfos at the beginning of Pesachim, the very first Tosfos of Pesachim, asks the following question. He says, "Hatam shehechmiru kan bechametz tfei mishar isurim lahatzrich bedika ubiu." We don't find, for example, let's say I have reason to believe that somebody brought nevela into my house. And I don't know where the nevela is. Am I chayv in bedika and biu? To have to search and find the nevela and then, you know, have a bonfire with nevela? We only find it in one Isur, in chametz. Factosis, first Tosfos in the Sefer Pesachim, why, what reason is it that in chametz we find a din of bedika and biur? Says Tosfos, hatam shechmiru kan mishum de chametz mutter kol hashana v'lo nesa rak bepesach v'lo bedili in shiminei. Is that I would have answered the Shach's question lefi ani esdaiti, and I'm racking my brains to figure out why he doesn't answer this, because I think it's, you know, it's begging to be said that there are three surim that can be described and classified as lo bedilim in ayinshi. Number one, basa b'chalav is hetem b'fnei atzmo. Number two, nedarim is hetem b'fnei atzmo. Number three, chametz. Just that chametz is a little bit more of a chiddush. I wouldn't have said it intuitively because chametz is a heftzad surah. But the difference is that same piece of bread before Pesach the whole year round, you know, if I put it in deep freeze, is heter gamur. All of a sudden it becomes Isur. So the quality of the chametz inherently is really heter. Nor vast, there's a temporary Isur. And by the way, on a Doraisa level, again, this is Machlokas Tanoim, but La Locha, we paskin that Chomet Shavu of Pesach is only an Isur Derabanan, it's a Knas.
Right.
So that means, with Doraisa, the moment that I make Havdolah on Motzei Pesach, I'm allowed to eat that same piece of Chomet that was an Isur Kares 5 minutes ago. So it means that really this Chomet is not in it, there's a time factor here. It's very similar to Nidarim. You know, just like Nidarim is sort of like an external, extraneous shield or barrier that prevents me from enjoying the neder, so too the days of Yontif, of Pesach, are like an exterior floating shield or barrier that prohibit me from eating the chametz. Haraya, Tosis calls it lo bedili minei inshi, and that's why Tos justifies bedika and biur. I mean, again, you could all ask the question, well, maybe we should have bedika and biur for basar v'chalav, but right now we don't have basar v'chalav. All we have is basar and chalav on the table. But Tosis says that he's not happy with this answer. He goes on, he says, Shiny Chametz, Sheikh Mira Bo Torah, Lavar Olav Vibalyro by Imot. Tosis says, no. The reason why the Chachamim were Machmir with Bedika and Beer and Chametz is because there's only one Isur in the Torah which you're not allowed to possess. That the possession itself incurs a double violation, two Lav Vibalyro by Imot. So I think maybe the Shach was influenced by the second half of Tosis. So I would have gone with the first half of Tosis and said the Chometz is also lo bedili minei. Anyway, getting back to the Shach. So the Shach frekta kasha. How could the Chuvus HaRashba say that I can't invite the guy to eat his Chometz sandwich on my table on Pesach when the law of Halah, the Isur Halah, only applies to two Isurim? So Shach comes up with an unbelievably brilliant answer. Says the Shach, and again, I'm giving you Berzon's interpretation of the Shach, so you'll read the Shach and decide if I'm not coloring your perspective. So the Shach, the Isur that the Rashba has in mind is not the Isur Halah at all. It's an Isur that's called Chametz Asur V'mashahu. What he means is that if I have my food over here and the guy is sitting next to me eating his food here, inevitably, again I'm dramatizing it, a little piece of Chametz is going to fall into my matzah. And Chametz is Asur V'mashahu. Pure Chametz, he says. Let's read the Shach inside. He says, Yesh lomar de chametz shiny de kevin de chametz asur b'mashu rachaku shelo yisarev pirur echad shmishel goy v'shel Yisrael. He says, the Shach is very consistent. There is no Isur Halah without lo bedili minei inshi, which means that the object itself is heter. Chametz is cheftad isura, it's gufo shel isur. Why then does the Rashba say I can't invite the guy to eat on my table if he's eating chametz? That's a different thing, says the Shach. Don't confuse that with Halah. That's an Isur because of Gzera, Shema, Pure Echad Yisarev, Bein Matzoso, and Chametz is also B'mash. But now the Shach has a problem. Because on this very same issue about inviting a guy to eat at your table on Pesach, please tell me how many more minutes I have here. Because we have almost 15 minutes. The Beis Yosef quotes not only the Chuvus HaRashba, but he quotes the Orchas Chaim. The Orchas Chaim was a Rishon. And the Orchas Chaim writes that it's okay to invite the guy to eat chametz at your table. Why? Says the Orchas Chaim. Im rotza ha-goy lechol chametz v'beis Yisrael mutter. He disagrees with the Rashba. Al fil al shulchan Yisrael shekarva dovar. Mishdover heter mishum shedomim l'shnei achsenoy. Again, let's go back. We said if two people are guests in a hotel, this one's eating chalav and this one's eating basar from the same table, it's mutter, because no one's gonna put his hand into the plate of another guest at a hotel unless they're very close, intimate friends. Says the Orchas Chaim, that same logic applies in the case of a goy. You will not, you the Yisrael, will not stretch your arm out to eat from the guy's plate, because that belongs to the guy. You know, Shnei Achsanoim said. affect the Shach. Apparently, what do you see for the Archas Chaim? What's the premise of his question and answer? That the Yisr Halah applies to Chametz. Nor for us, he's mad to the Yisr Halah because of Shnei Achsanoim. So again, according to the Rashba, the reason why it's Asur, says the Shach, is because of Chashash Taroves Pirur Chametz. Nothing to do with Halah. In fact, if the Yisrael in some constellation would be allowed to have chametz in his possession without Bal Yerov Hayemotze, he would be enjoined from putting that chametz on his table because he's eating his matzah on that table. It has nothing to do with the din of halah. It has to do with the chashash taropas. However, when it comes to the Archas Chaim, who is matir, which means he's not afraid of taropas, he's operating within the framework of halah. How could you allow the halah of chametz on the same table that you're eating matzah on Pesach? The answer is, I'm going to be marked because the Shnei Achsanoim. He is apparently assuming, and that's the premise of the Archas Chaim, that the Iser halah applies even to chametz. But according to the Shach, chametz is Shari Surim. It's not lo bedili min ayinshi. It's not heter, because for these 7 days it's gufo shal isur. What am I going to do with the Archas Chaim? Says the Shach, there's an expanded definition of lo bedili mine. We said that lo bedili mine only applies to something which is inherently mutter. Says the Shach, nay, lo bedili mine applies to lechem.
Lechem.
Lechem. Lechem pas comes under lo bedili mine. The alechem yichye ha'adam. V'lachain says the Shach rogil belechem kol hashana v'lo bedili min ha'inch. The Shach is really pressed against the wall. You can push it. You feel him. You can almost feel the heat of his. You know, he's sweating it out here. The Shach. You know, until now he was very stingy about giving out. You know, any expansion of lo bedili min ha'inch. Lo bedili min ha'inch only applies something which is inherently mutter, and chametz is inherently awesome. Now he says lechem is different. So the Shach now proves it. Beautiful proof. You're a Kohen, and I'm a Yisrael, and we're here in the land of Israel. Can you eat challah from the same table that I'm eating chulin? You can't. Frek the Shach. Wait a minute, we just finished saying that only in Basa B'Cholov is there a din of lo bedili min ha'inshi which engenders the Yisra Allah. And yet no one questions the fact that I cannot introduce a Kohen who's eating challah in Eretz Yisrael to eat from my table on which I'm eating chulin. That's the Yisra Allah. And for the Shach, alechem levado yichya ha'adam. The lo bedili min ha'inshi. That lechem has its own dinim. Rabbosai, next time they test you and they quiz you and they ask you what's unique about lechem in the halachic universe, and you'll tell them, well, you could be kovei suda on lechem, there's a mitzvah of lechem mishnah, you'll tell them from lechem we make matzah, and there's a mitzvah of matzah. Add the shach. What's unique about lechem is that lechem is lo bedili min ha'inshi, and therefore the din of Iser Halah applies to lechem, and it expresses itself in two ways. Number one, the Archas Chaim says that fundamentally you are not allowed to invite the guy to eat his chametz on Pesach on your table. He's matir because Shnei Achsanoim. And number two, Chalas Eretz Yisrael, which is eaten by a Kohen, cannot be eaten from the same table as a Yisrael who's eating Chalas Chul. Rabosai, if you have the Friedman Shulchan Aruch, this is called the Friedman Shulchan Aruch. You know, we were zoch in our generation that they keep republishing old Sfarim, and everybody comes up with a chiddush. And if you've heard, for example, in the publications of Shas, there's something called the Friedman Shas. What's it called? Oz Vahada. You remember? Have you heard of it? The Oz Vahad. So if you're marrying off any daughters and you have to buy a shas for your son-in-law, so you probably want to spend a lot of money and buy the Oz Vahad. And if not, you're in deep trouble because he's going to ask you for the Masifta, which costs about $10,000. So you'll be lucky if you get away with the Oz Vahad. Anyway, the most advanced, probably there must be something on the cutting edge beyond this Shulchan Aruch, but this is called the Friedman Shulchan Aruch. So the addition here, the Friedman Shulchan Aruch, to the regular Yoredeya that I was brought up with, is something called the Otzer HaMefarsh, in which he mamish anthologizes all different mafarshim on the Shulchan Aruch that you and I, unless we had a fantastic library or we bought Otzer HaChachma, we'd have no access to. So he has here, on this shach, a comment of the Mate Yonason. I didn't get a chance to research who it is. I suspect it's from Yonason Ivershitz. I'm not sure. And he says the following. He says, you know why Chalas Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to invite the Kohen to eat from the same table? He says, Kevon Sheroesh HaKohen Ochel, Gam Hu Yavol Lechol. He comes up with a brand new principle. And he's saying that the Iser HaLoh will apply, not the way the Shach said it whenever it's Lo B'dili Me'inshi, but the key of keys and the secret to unlock the mystery as to why we only find in Basa B'cholav the Iser HaLoh is because the Iser HaLoh is based on the fact that you're sitting at the table with someone who's eating that very substance, which for you is Aser. So for example, if you're eating milk, right, if you're eating cheese and I'm eating meat at the same table, then I watch you eating the cheese. Okay, again, this is for Drushes for Shabbos, and I'm salivating, right? I'm salivating because I see how you enjoy the cheese, like it's gishmak. And I know you're from a yid. So you know what? I might stretch my arm out and eat a piece of the cheese. So here, the kain is eating challah at the table. And you know what? If he can eat it, why can't I eat it? Like, it doesn't occur to me, there's no inhibition for me to eat together with him. Meanwhile, I'm violating a terrible Issa. And I was thinking, Rabosai, if we accept the Mati Yonason, maybe we can expand the Mati Yonason even further. The Rush said that in Mudr Hanoa Michavero, and Shimon is not allowed to eat from Reuven's bread, that there should be an Iser HaLoh fundamentally, except for Sodim Zedzeh, fine. And the Shach goes ballistic. He says, what, Neder? Why? Neder is not Lo B'dili Me'inshi until he comes up to the conclusion that Neder is really not Gufo Shel Iser and Alan wasn't happy with it. According to Mati Yonason, I don't need the Shach. I can totally sideswipe the Shach. The reason why I can't eat at the table with Reuven in a Mudra Anor is because Reuven's eating. If Reuven is eating this, why can't I eat it? The answer is Sonim Zedzeh. But fundamentally, if you ask me according to Mati Yonason, what is the overriding justification or the application of the Iser HaLoh? It's whenever two people are eating at the same table, and for him he's allowed to eat it. Well, why can't I grab a piece and have a bite from him? Is Memela, I don't know, again, now I'm going really out on a limb, and I know you'll fight me on this, but I'll say it anyway. Maybe, according to Mati Yonason, that's why the Arches Chaim is nervous about inviting a guy to eat his chametz tikka sandwich on Pesach. Again, you and I might say, so what difference to make if a guy is eating chametz, right? But still, he's eating at my table, I might stretch my arm at. In the case of Nevela, there's Nevela on the table. We never found an Iser HaLoh of Nevela on the table, nor do we find an Iser HaLoh on any different Iser. Where and when do the Rabbanan impose an Iser HaLoh when two people are eating at the same table? And the chashash is that why wouldn't I stretch my arm at, perhaps, and eat from him? Again, notwithstanding the cases of Sonim Zedzeh and the Heter of Shnei Achsenoi. So Rabbanan, just to summarize, and we'll finish with this, why is it that the Mishnah tells us here in Chulin Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis that you're not allowed to put Basar and Cholav on the same table? We don't find it by Nevela, we don't find it by Shaar Isur. And I think two roads have diverged in the yellow wood. The road, the path of the Shach is Lo B'dili Inshi Mineh. And the question is how to define Lo B'dili Mineh Inshi. But fundamentally it means that you're talking about something that's Heter in and of itself, like Basar and like Chol. The Shach is forced to expand that definition of Lo B'dili Mineh Inshi to justify the Rush in the Darim by saying that a Neder is also Lo B'dili Mineh Inshi because in and of itself the Neder is Heter. Then the Shach is forced to expand that in the context of the Orchas Chaim with regard to chametz, when the guy brings in his chametz, that chametz is also lo bedilim in a yinchi, but not because of chametz, but because alechem levado yichya odom, and the Shach proves it from chalas Eretz Yisrael. The other road to take, which may be the high road, depending upon which, you know, intuitively where you want to place yourself, is the road of the Mati Yonason. The Mati Yonason says it has nothing to do with Lobedilim in Inchi. It has to do with the fact that two people are eating at the same table, and you might be tempted to eat from his food or imitate him, and lo and behold, you're violating an Isa. So, for example, if you're eating Basa, you might tempt to eat Cholav. He's eating Cholav, he's eating Gvino, why shouldn't I? Or, for example, if he's Mutter b'neder, and you're also b'neder, but he's eating it, you're also b'neder, you shouldn't be eating it, but you're watching him, and you take a piece from him. Or, for example, the guy is eating chametz, why can't you eat the chametz? And certainly, how much more so in the case of a Kohen, the Halig of Kohen is eating challah, he's like, I'll take a piece, I'm a Yisrael, and I might take a piece. That's when we institute the Isur Halal. Okay? Stop.
And that works much better for your friend of Ayla. Because nobody's eating it.
Exactly. I meant to add that now. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. I forgot to point that out.
What if you have a guy at the table and he's eating in the veil?
Good. Right. That should be the same as the Orchas Chaim in Chametz. If the guy comes in, according to Mati Yonason, he's eating the veil, then I'm not allowed to let him eat his veil on my table.
Right.
Meaning, I cannot invite anyone to eat any Iser at the table if it's mutter for him to eat it and it's also for me to eat it. Because once it's also for me and he's eating from the table, I might be tempted to stretch my arm out and eat.
So it's a form of...
So again, the Mati Yonason is not interested in classifying Isurin. In that sense, the Shach is much more lumpish. But Rabosa, I hold that there's an afkamina between the Shach and the Mati Yonason. The Shach is talking about a very unique Iser called Lo Bedili Inshimine, which might mean that Halah, as we saw in Rashi, is an extension of the Iser Achila. Not so in the Mati Yonason. The Mati Yonason is not talking about this separate, new, brand new category called Iser Halah. Mati Yonason is talking about a classical Chashash and Gzera. You are eating? I'm going to stretch my arm and imitate you. I'm also going to take a bite and eat out of the same food. So if that's pure Chashash, pure Gzera, has nothing to do with the Shach's understanding of the Yisrael law. In the Shach's frame of reference, we're talking about a unique Chalushem Cheftu di Surah, which is halachically well defined. It's called Lo Bedilim in Ayinche. It's unique in the fact that it's Heter. And therefore, the Shach says it has its own, a life of its own, a special definition called the Isra Halah, in which we extend the Isra Achila to include the Isra. It could be that Beit Shammai would make a lot more sense according to the Mati Yonason, if you remember, because Beit Shammai was unwilling to extend the Isra Achila to encompass the Isra Halah.
Right. It sounds like a modified version of Chefetz Gavra, of
course. Ooh, I didn't even think of those things. Let's see.
It means if, in fact, there is a, you know, for me, of course, it's an Isser on me to eat from this. But as long as there's somebody else who can, so it's not Isser Chefetz. It doesn't become a hundred. It's still Isser Chefetz. It's a hundred Isser Chefetz. But since there's a way you can eat it, so it's not 100% Isser Chefetz, and therefore
it might be an Isser Gavra. That's according to the Mati Yonason.
Yeah.